welcome to The Squeal, PIC's swine management podcast, featuring in-depth conversations on topics that matter to you. PIC is the global leader in swine genetics. At PIC, our goal is to make our customers the most successful pig producers by providing them with the best genetics. We know our business success depends on yours. Today, we consider ingredient quality in our third and final episode in this Priorities in Pig Nutrition series. K-State's Dr. Mike Tokash and PIC's Wayne Cast and Dr. Weasley Orlando join us.
Mike Tokash, I'm a professor and swine nutritionist at Kansas State University.
Wayne Cast, I do swine nutrition.
Weasley Orlando, I'm also doing swine nutrition here in PIC, leading the nutrition team.
Ingredient quality, certainly we've talked about mycotoxins in the past, observing that, and I think Weasley commented very well about some things that we need to make sure that our feed mill is doing as far as quality control. I have a question related to some of Scott D's recent work and the transfer of potential pathogens via feed. How has that changed how you as a group look at your part in the industry?
It probably started well before African swine fever. It probably started with PED. And we started being aware that we needed to be more careful with animal-derived proteins. And sometimes it really wasn't maybe the product in the truck that was being delivered, but the truck itself, where it had been and where it came from. So I think we have more focus on that than we have had in the past. And with this African swine fever, it's taken our level of concern higher.
As we go back to talking about the feed mill designs, our feed mills were not designed for feed biosecurity from a virus or bacteria introduction, because frankly, before PEDV, there really was a fairly strong belief in the industry, including myself, that we were a very small risk or almost no risk. And PEDV really taught us an awful lot that the feed mill was moving that virus in many situations around the world, but particularly what we saw in the Midwest U.S. And so that opened our eyes, and we've really instituted a lot of different protocols in mills, but we have a long ways to go. Because it still isn't seen as being certainly the primary way that viruses get into a pig operation, but it is one of the ways. The problem is we're going to need some new feed mills and new designs to really fix it, because the design was not set up for one-way flow and for not crossing traffic in most of our mills.
And I agree with Dr. Tokash about this risk. And there is the risk involved and also the quality involved in terms of variation of nutrients or specification on there. And just to add one comment in the biological risk is there are things that we are monitoring, and these tough days like today or even with the PEDV came from the table to be discussed. I mean, take more caution or more attention on this. But even before, there is many other bacterial points like Salmonella, for example, that mostly guys do not attend, and we have this risk. I mean, for the poultry industry, I have some experience in poultry industry, and that is clear for me. Feed mill actually, people think that feed mill reduce actually the risk. Feed mill probably amplify, they put a bigger this problem, and everything starts with the raw materials. Monitor your raw materials that you're receiving in the feed mill if you want to reduce the risk. But just as one example, we can talk about mycotoxin as well, right? You know, and just to add one point is, everything is started by procurements, guys, because actually if you want to reduce variation, I mean, what you're delivering, because if a nutritionist, they formulate really tight. If we want to reduce variation, everything is started by procurement areas, because corn is corn. Yeah, corn probably have not a huge variation, right? But there is, or if you're talking about DDGs, grain, there's a huge variation.
From plant to plant.
So plant to plant. And actually products, If you ask Wayne, what, tell me about whey product that you use in the nursery diets. It's whey, right? But we have a different ways.
Yeah.
So it's everything is started by procurement, guys. What are you really buying?
And so one way we reward consistent ingredients and maybe punish more variable ingredients is when you put your nutrient loadings in, if you got a variable ingredient and you, instead of using the average value for a nutrient, you use the average value minus a half a standard deviation. So that sort of rewards the more consistent ingredients like corn and soybean meal and maybe puts a little margin of safety in on more variable ingredients like bakery or distillers or things
right.
like that.
Yeah, I mean, I never met one nutritionist that don't work with a margin, right? Safety margin. Everybody has, I mean, every nutritionist has some margin. So, but in the end, I agree with Wayne to get this average less one half a standard deviation, but that represents cost in the end of the year. And as much as you are, intensify your, let you say, your QA, QC, your procurement, your improve your feed mill, you can go close to that average. It means that you are probably have one payoff on this, I mean, a payback yeah. from this side, right?
What percentage of the industry is using pellets? And is that the right percentage?
Depends very well, I guess. Wayne, do you have one number here in North America?
Oh, no, I really don't know what percent would be. And it's an economic decision, and maybe even an economic / health decision. If you have your own feed mill and you really understand your pelleting cost, it's more likely to be a good buy.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Is if you own your own feed mill, the majority of the time pellets are going to be an economical way to go. But Wayne's exactly right. Is the health status of the pigs and sometimes which genetic line you use obviously fits into that. In terms of how the pigs respond in terms of ulcers with the pellets and what level of a potential mortality you have with them. I think when we talk about the Midwest U.S., the use of pellets is relatively small as compared to when you get to the coast, especially the East Coast, or you get into other countries. And I think a lot of times that's really driven by the economics. Of course, is the cost of the grain and the diets that you're putting together, and because the more expensive it is, the better the pellets pay off, and certainly the lower you can get the cost of pelleting, which is usually lower in an integrated system, you will make it more economical.
Yeah, I agree with the era. If you go through European diets, for example, most of work with pelleting, right? If you go to the South America. We have seen some people using, but not, it's more, I mean, it's less than probably European. But about the pelleting, I have one extra comment. When you say pelleting, we are talking about pelleting, but the pellet is another, it's a kind of an R size. Because when you say your diet, when I ask our customers, are you working with a pellet or not? They say yes. The next question probably is more important than the first one. Tell me about a quality pellet, because we know about the pigs, or I mean, at least we think that we know that below some below than 80% probably pellet in the field. I don't know exactly if you have the same.
You get a pellet
again. I mean, and for the feed mill standpoint, they said I have pelleting, but actually, I have experience to operate in the same year 45 feed mills in the same time, right? And I can guarantee you 45 feed mills, 45 different pelleting quality, even with some with the same specification of diet, because of the equipment. There's people involved in this. So basically, I would say that better than talking about the pellet or not, it's talking about the pelleting quality. You have a really consistent pellet. Because this is affected feeder regulation, affect actually the way that animals eat, because I have one story. in the past. So I have a running trial in my previous time in my the company that I used to work, and the guy reported me that the feed mill broke and that he had to work with a 2-3 weeks with NASH, and he reported that changes in the wastage. And I said, wow, I understand you have a NASH and probably you have more waste. I said, no, I have less. I said, well, that is no sense for me. I said, yeah, because actually the feed mill have a really poor palate. They have much more wastage before than during mash. Mash was more consistent. The pigs does not try to find palate. I said, wow. And that takes me kind of a warning light to say, oh, I need to review my process in that feed mill because, you know, probably mash is better because, not because palate in mash is better than palate, because my palate quality there is really poor.
Yeah. So if you have a good palate, you'll get better gain and you'll get better feed efficiency. But if you have a more than probably 20% fines, you won't see those two things anymore. But there's still some advantage to pelleting, okay? And it is that you can grind your grain as fine as you want and it still comes out of the bin, and you can use some byproducts that would not flow in a meal and you have a pellet, even if it's a crummy pellet. The stuff will usually come out of the bin.
What's a good pellet look like?
Less than 20%.
Yeah, that's the number.
That's the time it gets to the feeder. That would be...
It's at least a quarter of an inch long.
Yeah, our research would tell us that typically we can get some level of a pelleting advantage on feed efficiency, at least until you get up to around 50% fines. At least in our research trials, it's pretty equal to a mash diet on feed efficiency once we get to that level. But I think that's highly variable based on the feeder that you use. There's some feeders that the pigs can do the sorting that Weasley was talking about, and they can throw those fines out. And pigs want to eat the pellets. They do like pellets, and they'll sort to try to get to the pellets, and they don't like the powder in general. And so if they have a choice, they'll sort through and eat the pellets and leave the fines.
So is this why dads always get the end of the cereal box?
That's all the fines.
Very similar.
Yeah.
Questions for each other, comments for each other. Anything that we haven't covered we should have?
I think we have one point that is important in this, let's say, focus on the right thing. We're talking about the feed meal quality, but another thing is the feed delivery and allocation as well. Because, you know, when we create a nutrition plan as a nutritionist, we ask how we understand the constraints in the feed mill in the field, and we set up, for example, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 diets. In some areas, people work with more diets. There's some recent studies doing by Kansas State. Mike can speak better than me, but that show that the last diet probably has some advantages in terms of economic standpoint. But what I'm talking about is about a feed allocation and feed delivery. Because in some situations, we have more opportunity in cost per pig related with allocation than nutrient levels. I'm got one example for you guys based on a bad experience that I had in the past. I was checking one day in my company some allocations. How is the feed budget and what is the delivery in that operation? And I have seen that based on what I was predicting intake in the rectopamine phase, the last diets, should be X number, and they have a kind of a 20% over. And I was, okay, something is wrong. They are more days problem in the field. And I was checking, they are on a program 4 weeks, and they're working with more than 5 weeks. And then I turned back and said, guys, you guys have a good feed efficiency, good results, but that's got much more for us. I mean, it's something that people do not realize. Oh, you need to focus on how much we are allocating our prediction and how much they are really eating. That helps us, just does not only take an economic standpoint, but actually adjust actual levels in our formulation, right? When it's a kind of feedback for us.
Yeah.
So on paleen type diets, that it was easier for guys to, if their system was really tight on space, they usually did a better job with paleen because the pigs were, they knew when the barn was going to be empty and they could start it at the right time. Well, if they got a lot of loose, well, let's leave that barn another week. And then the wheels kind of came off the wagon. I think the first responsibility is that the pig to have feed. And then the second responsibility that we get him the right feed. And then the third is that we make the feed right. You know, it's got the right nutrients in there, but the fact we got to make sure he gets it on a regular basis. Yeah. And that ties to systems what could get along better with pellets than not, in that if you have a lot of feed interruptions, you probably don't want to be feeding pellets. Yeah.
Yeah, the pig is pretty forgiving, and we talk about the number of phases or delivering the feed, and the pig is really pretty forgiving to us as long as they have time to recover from a mistake in their lifespan. And so what we want to make sure in a formulation standpoint or delivery is that your last diets that are fed to those pigs are make sure that they're at or above their requirements so that they have the opportunity to compensate if they need to. And that's also the area where when we do the trials, we get the most negative impact economically if we are short on their nutrient requirements in the late finishing stage. It can make a big difference performance-wise in earlier phases, but on the overall grand scheme of things, the late finisher is the one that you really, really want to be careful on.
Well, yeah, because we're going from 40 to 80 pounds compared to going from probably 200 to 300 pounds, so it's a lot more magnitude at the end, and the pig tries to compensate if we let him. Yeah.
A special thanks to our guest on priorities in pig nutrition as we wrap up this three-part series, Drs. Mike Tokash and Weasley Orlando and Wayne Cast. You're welcome to share these podcasts widely in your organization. In fact, we encourage it. For PIC, the international leader of continuous genetic improvement in swine breeding stock and in world-class technical support to the global pork supply chain, I'm Ned Arthur. Thanks for joining us.